All right, Father God, we just thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the blessing that you gave to us when your son went to the cross and died for our sins. I thank you that we have forgiveness for that. I thank you that he rose again on the third day, showing that we have life. We have a new life. And Lord, let us live in that. Let us take joy in that. Let us not focus on the things and the circumstances that are in our path, but let us focus on you, on Christ. And then maybe we'll have that joy, Lord. May we be connected through your Holy Spirit. And may you speak to us today, Father. May this not be of me, but of you. I'm just showing up. And Lord, I'm not worthy, but you are. And so, Lord, we lift this day up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, as a kid, I grew up in a home. Mom and dad, you know, this is all good. Two sisters, a brother. But my dad was an alcoholic. And I, you know, it doesn't matter how he got there or anything. And the fact is, he was an alcoholic for whatever reason. And he kind of became estranged to us. And so our relationship was separated in that process of it. And him and my mom always fought. I mean, I remember sitting at the table one time, and my dad was verbally abusing my wife, or my mom. And she actually threw a salt shaker at him. And that was just one incident. There were other incidences. You know, I don't want to get into all that, but it was something. We always thought, why is she still living there with them, you know, and everything. But and she was suffering through this. My mom was a lady of God. She knew the Lord. You know, a matter of fact, when she died, matter of fact, 5 or 6 years ago, the 24th, 2 days ago, is the anniversary of her death. And we were going through her things at her house, and we found this letter in there to God, and it was thanking him for all the things that he had done for her. And it goes through this list, you know, thank God for this, thank God for this. And then it gets down there, and it says, thank you, God, for getting me through the tribulation of my kids. And I am the chief of that. I'm just saying. And then it said at the bottom, it said, thank you, God, for everything. And it just really touched me, which many things did when I went through that period when she died, that was very touching. And the Lord was right there with me as I was suffering as my mom left, because I had a great relationship with my mom. And when I finally came to the Lord years later, me and her had had a very good relationship, and we got to talk about the Lord together. And how relieving after you hear this story. I'm just saying, it's not pretty, but I think you should know me and everything. So I started hanging out with guys older than me and started drinking. Went to all kinds of parties. And I'm not talking about, you know, just little parties. I'm talking about keg parties. We'd gather at the park. A guy would come in a van and in trucks. We'd grab our half-gallon milk jugs, and we'd head out to Sloan's Canyon. And there we'd have a bonfire, and we would drink until we passed out. That's the partying that I grew up under. I got into drugs and everything, and had several run-ins with the police. Went to jail several times, handcuffed and all that stuff. One incident I'm going to give you, because this is one that just came up in my mind as I was thinking about this story. Because basically, in the Bible here are testimonies. And that's what I'm giving you here is a testimony about God and his word. We had taken several of these little red pills, and I think some of you know what those are. And we snuck a bottle of wine into the La Mesa bowling alley. And we're sitting there bowling, and we're getting more intoxicated because of these little red pills and the wine mixed together are not a good combination. So we're sitting there bowling, and all of a sudden the bottle falls out and it breaks and spills all over the alley. And this created havoc throughout the whole place. And so they came over to us and they said, you guys have to leave. Well, we got belligerent and we started yelling at them. And I told them that we were going to blow the place up. Well, you know what that created. So, you know, we finally left after saying that, and I didn't think much more of it, because, you know, we were out to party. So we're out in back of the bowling alley, and we're lighting up some pot. We're lighting up a joint. And all of a sudden, we hear this, stick up your hands. Hold, or whatever they say. I don't, it's been so long. But all of a sudden, we hear that. And so he throws everything. He throws the bag and everything. And they arrest us. And they put us in the car. Handcuff us, you know, the hands behind the back and everything. Well, as we're sitting in that car before we go to the police station, my buddy says to me, he says, hey, I still got two more or four more of those red things in my wallet. And I'm going, oh, no. And, you know, we don't want to get busted for possession, you know. So I've got my hands behind my handcuff behind my back. And, of course, I've had that several times that way. And so I figured out a way to get them all the way. I was pretty skinny, you know. And I got them all the way in front of me. And I got into his wallet. And I took those out. And I gave him two. And I took two more. And so then as we're continuing down to the La Mesa Police Department, they pull into the back. And they're taking us out of the car, and I'm getting out of the car, and I notice my friend's over there. He's wrestling with the cops. I don't know what it was all about, but I just saw them, you know, they were beating on him. So I just ran over there, and I jumped on one of the cops' bats. And I'm telling you, I've never seen cops come out of a building. It was like ants. You know how you stir up an ant's nest? I mean, they were coming out of that building right and left, and they, you know, they finally threw us in the jail. And we just kept getting more and more intoxicated because, you know, the drugs were taking effect, and we just kept getting worse and worse. I remember spinning. I'm sure I threw up. Everything that was going on there. They ended up taking us to juvenile hall, and they put me in isolation because I was the most belligerent and the worst. And I spent, I forget how many days in that isolation cell, but here's the point. Here's the point of the whole thing. My mom came down there, and I didn't think this was going to happen. My mom came down there, and all I saw through this little window, because that's all they had on the door in the isolation, I saw my mom bawling like I've never seen her before. And I didn't look back on that until the other day when I heard a pastor say, you know, maybe your mom seen you in the jail and she was crying. I think that's how the Lord looks at us. He sees us and he wants to bring us home. But he's crying. It hurts him to see us in the way that we are. And he wants to bring us home. And that's what my mom wanted. She told me later on, years later, she told me, it didn't matter what you did. I just wanted to bring you home. That's why I was crying. That's what she was going through. And I was taken back when she said that to me. Okay. We got to move on. let me go on with that because it was later on that I had to go to court for that. And I was standing in front of the judge, and the judge says, you know, I had to stand up before him, and he says, who's going to take responsibility for this boy? And my estranged dad, my father, stood up and said, I will. And that was pretty powerful. So my dad really loved us. He just got caught up in a sin. He got caught up into drinking. And basically, it carried on down to me. And I followed in my dad's footsteps. And I followed in the same way as being abusive to my wife. And I hurt her and everything. So I'm just saying those things because we're all in this together. We're all sinners, right? Thank you. Okay. Now let's go over to Philippians. And maybe if I have time, I can get back into a little bit more. But if I don't, we're never going to get into this. So the Philippian church was founded about AD 51. This was when Paul was on his second missionary trip over into Europe. Philippi is around Macedonia. And actually, that church was founded on suffering. I think it was Paul who first came into Philippi, and he was going down to the river to pray. And as he was sitting there, he was talking to some people, and this lady, Lydia, came up. And she came up and she was overhearing the conversation. Well, she ended up getting converted. and came to Christ. And then she asked him to come over to her house. And so they went over to their house. Well, if you're around Paul long enough, you're gonna get the word of God. You're gonna really know the Lord at that point. And she got baptized and was saved. And there is the beginning of the Philippian church. Then they go into town, and there was a gal going around, and she was she telling fortunes, I think, or something like that? Anyway, he ends up taking that spirit, that demon spirit, out of her, where she couldn't do it anymore, and there was people in the town that were making money off of that. So they go to the magistrate, and they tell him, hey, man, this guy's stirring up all kinds of trouble in this town, you know? So they put him in jail. So while he's in jail, they shackle him, and I think Silas was with him, and they're sitting in a prison. They're shackled to the wall in chains. I think it says their feet were put in stocks, and so they're bolted to the wall, or however they do that, and everything, and they had a guard out front, and it's funny because you think, wow, prison. I know what it's like. I know what jail. Well, not prison, but I know what jail's like. You know, and I don't even want to be there. I don't like it. You know, and that's our jails. I mean, they got TVs, they got this, they got that, you know, and everything. I don't think they had that there. I think it was a dirt floor, and it was old block stone, cold stone, and everything. But you know what they were doing in there? They were singing. They were singing and praising the Lord in their suffering, in what they were going through. There they were singing and praising the Lord. And you know what happened? An earthquake. A huge earthquake happened, and it rocked even the foundations of the jailhouse. And all the stocks came loose. All the chains came loose on all the prisoners. All the doors flew open. You guys know, you've been in an earthquake before and how it can dissettle everything. Well, this was a big earthquake. And so the guard out front, he thought, with all those doors open, that everybody escaped. Well, they're under his authority. And if they escape, then he has to presume their punishment. And so he didn't want to go through that. So he says he's going to kill himself. And Paul yells from inside, and he says, hey, don't do that. We're all here. We're still here. Everybody stayed. All the prisoners stayed, and everything. And Paul stayed. Silas stayed. And the jailer was so taken back by that, that he came in and said, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul gave him that. He was converted. They went to his house. He cleaned up all his sores and everything from being whipped. And his whole family became saved. There's the Philippian church right there. That's in Acts 16. You can go and read it. It's a great story, great testimony of Paul and what he's doing. So now, the church in Philippi, when he writes this letter, this is about 10 years later. This is in AD 61 when he writes this letter. Guess what? He's in prison again when he writes this letter. He's in a Roman prison now. I think it's his first imprisonment when he gets over there. And so he writes this letter at this time. And this is how it begins. Or let me put it this way. Or let me back up a little bit. Let's put it that way. Jesus Christ in this letter, in this chapter, is mentioned 18 times. In 30 verses, 18 times. 19 times the word rejoice or joy is mentioned throughout the letter of Philippians. 6 times the gospel's mentioned. Giving the gospel, preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, I know some of us, we're going through some stuff. I know some of you are. I've seen it in the prayers, and we lift you guys up in prayer and everything. I know we're going through some struggles. I'm going through some struggles. I had some struggles this morning with my stomach, a little nervous about coming in here and doing this, and I'm really suffering a little bit. But some people, maybe you're hooked on something. Maybe there's something that you're just hooked on and you're struggling with it and you want to get off of it. Maybe you're living with somebody difficult. Mel's looking at me. She's nodding her head. But this letter is written, I think, to help us. And basically to help us in our thinking. Because that's what messes us up. It's our thinking. And I heard this great commentary from John Corson. Thank you, Lord, for him and his great study of the Word. And how he expounds on it. I'm going to use some of that and everything as we read through this. So just bear with me, and maybe we'll get through this together. So let's read verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Well, there's twice that Jesus Christ is mentioned. Okay, so a bondservant, to put it shortly, and I could go into it further, but to put it shortly, it's a servant who's been freed, but he likes the master's household, so he wants to stay. There's a bondservant. And if I think of a bondservant, you know, I just think of the first word, bond. You know, when you bond something with glue, you know, it's a good, strong bond, you know. Just that word. I mean, I can go into how they take him to a, you know, a post, and they hit him with this ice pick and put an earring in his hair, and that he's known by the master. But you can look that up. Some of you who are well studied in the Bible know about what I'm talking about. Grace and peace that he speaks about here in verse 2, I think that's something that Paul knew about. I mean, remember when he was like, remember when he, you know, before he came to Christ? Remember how he was? He was killing Christians. He was killing Jewish Christians, Jewish believers. He was taking them to prisons and everything. He was persecuting them. And then he had that great epiphany. He saw that bright light, and Christ came into his life, and he was changed forever in all of that. Now, I heard a great testimony this last week. And maybe some of you guys have read his book. His name is Tassir Abu Sada. He's a Palestinian sniper. And he worked under Yasser Arafat for the PLO. And he came to the Lord. And I listened to this whole testimony. He's got a book out. It's called Once an Arafat Man. Now, here's a guy that was killing Jews, or Israelites, and Christians. And everything to get his land back. That's how he grew up. That's what they're taught in everything as they grow up. And he went into this story, and I mean, what an awesome testimony he gives. But it was funny because he was visiting a church, and some guy stands up at a church. This is a Christian church here in the United States, and he says, "What are you doing here? You're a murderer." And he was taken back by that, and because, you know, the love. I mean, where's the love here, you know? And then he reminded them about Paul, you know? And he says, what about Paul? He was killing people, you know? And I think that's good news because, you know, maybe you've done something in your life that's, you know, you don't think can be forgiven. But it can be. God went to the cross for us all. He died for us all. We're all forgiven. For that. Now we live under him. And that's good for me because, I mean, I told you my childhood, you know, and I lived under the guilt of that for a long time. And I'm freed now from Jesus Christ. You see? So, you know, read his book. It's a good book. Your story, how you came to Christ, that's your testimony. That's the easiest way to talk to someone, is to give your testimony. Because you know your story, you know? And basically, if you think of history, his story, history is God's testimony, his story. It's kind of awesome, you know? So that's the easiest way. If you guys wanted to share your story, man, just you can come right out. I gave my testimony at the men's mission. And I mean, it was just great. I felt this joy inside of me. I was blessed by the whole thing. They got blessed. I mean, it was just a great evening, and everything. And I'm not going to have time to go into it. I can see that because it's going quickly. So, where was I? Oh yeah, verse 2. Grace, was something that Paul knew very well. Let me just turn over to 1 Timothy. First Timothy 12 through 17. Yeah. Glory to God for His grace. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a prosecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. How awesome is that little writing right there? Paul knew about this grace that God gave, this unmerited forgiveness that He gives. He doesn't care what you've done. He wants to bring you home. Verses 3 through 11, let's read that. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is the letter now. We're getting into the meat of the letter. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have put you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. It's joy from the fellowship of giving the gospel. We all work together in that thing, you know, all the way from the pastor, all the way down to the little kids. We all work together. And we're in a fellowship, and we hold up each other as we go along, you see? And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Hallelujah, until the day of Christ, because He's coming back, and we're going home, you know? Because my Redeemer lives. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus to the glory and praise of God. Look at this section. Look what's going on here. Paul's in chains. Remember, he's chained to a guard. And I feel sorry for that guard, because I'm just saying, Paul, being chained to Paul, you know, I mean, you're going to hear the Word of God. I don't care who you are, but you're going to hear the Word of God. And think about what's happening here. He didn't know for certain if he was going to be killed or released. You know, his life was on the line. But what's he doing? He's praying for the Philippian church. I think that is so cool. They had a certain bond that as you read this letter, you find out that he had this certain bond for the people at Philippi. The people of Philippi, when he was in prison, had sent them Epaphroditus to encourage him and give him some relief, some money. And Epaphroditus, on the way, he got sick and he almost died. But he continued on his path and he got up there. And the church in Philippi had heard about this. And that's kind of what this letter is about, is Paul's telling them, you know, hey, Epaphroditus, I'm sending him back to you. He's okay. He's okay. He's alive, you know, and I'm going to send him back to you. Thank you for your support. Because they were supporting him in the ministry. And just think of the ministry that's born from that, you know, as he's in a, he's hooked to a guard, you know, and you know he's given him the gospel. I mean, I know, I'm just from reading Paul's letters, I know that that's what he talked about. And think what happens when the change of guard comes and that guard goes back home, or he goes into the magistrates and everything, you know. He's going to tell them about what Paul said. You know what that man said? You know, I'm just kind of imagining, you know, what's going on. So, The thing is, how could he do that with his life in limbo? How could he think of these other people when the circumstances in his life, you know, he should be thinking about that? Because he cared for them deeply. Verse 7 says, I have you in my heart. I mean, what a man of God that is, because that's what Christ is. He has you in his heart, you know, and Paul was living like Christ. That's what he says. He could have been complaining, he could have been whining, but no, he's writing a letter and praying. He's praying for others. He's writing a letter and he's praying for others. He's writing a letter of encouragement and he's praying for others. And while chained to a guard. So think about this. What's bugging you that's causing you to be bitter? Who is it in your life that might be causing you to be bitter? Someone at work? Someone at school? Your wife? Your kids? Run amok? On drugs? You know, what's causing that in you? Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. What do you do? Pray for them. Pray for that person that is bugging you. Pray for your children that are out there in the world, living in that darkness. Pray for them. There's a spiritual realm out there, and God will make sure that he does something. I guarantee it. Don't let them cause you to do anything. Don't let them cause you to be any way. Don't let them cause you to be bitter. Don't let your work, your boss cause you to be bitter. Don't carry that home with you. You know what it is? It's a thinking pattern. We got a thinking problem. That's what we're talking about here. We let our circumstances dictate who we are. And that's not what God wants for us. God will change them as you pray for them. But most importantly, he's going to change you. And I can say amen to that also, because I've seen it happen. Well, my wife can testify to that. Don't waste one more day in that bitterness. Look, here's the thing. God won't change my mind, but he'll change my heart. I heard someone say that. I heard someone whispering it. Someone knows. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So is he. The secret of joy is how you think. Verse 8 says, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you, all with affection of Jesus Christ. With that affection that Jesus Christ has. That's how he was looking at those other people. That's how he took his mind off his circumstances. He was praying. He was thinking about others. That's what he was doing. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you, man. These guys were deep in his heart. He's in chains, remember. He's suffering. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. But there he is, thinking about others. I mean, it's just so Christ-like. Look at the compassion he had. Hey, Paul had every right to complain about all his hardships, don't you think? I had to look it up. I went to 2 Corinthians 13. And just to get a few of the things that he went through, 2 Corinthians, I messed something up. Oh, here it is. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes. He was beaten 40 times by the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. He was in the water. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles. He was running from everybody. in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, and in cold and nakedness. This is what Paul suffered through. He was a Christian. He was a lover of God. And look at all that he suffered through, but look what he did. Look at the ministry that he had through his suffering. What an amazing testimony that he has through that. Uh, 12 through 18. You know, I have a little note in my Bible here. You should see this, man. Look at all the ink marks and everything. But I got here marked twice now. Twice now he's mentioned the day of Christ. He's looking ahead. He's going, the day of Christ, it's coming. I mean, he thought back then it was going to be soon, you know, and that kept joy in him. You see? So verses 12 through 18 says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What a way to think. Huh? My suffering has actually happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Those people around him couldn't believe, how can he be in joy right now? Look what we're doing to him, you know? And they wanted some of that. That was attractive to them. You see? How could he have said that? You know, he should have been saying, well, where's God in this? You know, where's God in this? Instead, he sees it as a chance for the gospel to spread. It says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Okay? Look at that. It's spread. It's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So people were actually becoming bold because of it. Look what's going on around this man, you know, and everything. Now, some indeed were preaching Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. This was God's appointment for Paul. He told him beforehand that he was going to go to Rome, and he wanted to go to Rome. I don't think he wanted to go the way he got there, but he's there, and he's furthering the gospel of Christ in this Roman Empire. Now, you got to remember what's going on in A.D. 60. 64, I think Nero was the leader in Rome, and he thought that the Christians, and I think it was AD 64 actually, that he thought that the Christians had started the fire in Rome, and that's what started the for the Romans to come down into Israel about that time, because he thought it was coming down, it was the Israelites causing all the problem and the Christians. And so he actually was impaling Christians. He was putting them on posts and putting pitch on them and burning them in his garden. That's the persecution that's taking place here. This is how horrible it was in those days. This is what they faced. We face maybe, oh, you think you're holier than thou. We might fake, you know, we might get a name call or something here in America. I think we're in a bubble here, basically. Because this kind of stuff, it's still going on in the world. Africa, China, Vietnam, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, all those places. These horrific things are still happening. People's heads are getting lopped off because they're Christians, because they're Jews. These things are still happening here, you know. And we sit over here and we, you know, we're going through some stuff. I'm telling you what, man, there's always someone going through something worse than you are. And that's also another thing that can bring me joy, is to look at others. Johnny Erickson Tata, paraplegic. What a joyful person she is. What Christ, you can tell Christ is living in that woman. You know, what about that Nick, starts with a B. Yeah. But he was born with no arms and no legs. Yeah, Bojcevic or something. Yeah. Yeah. But what an inspiration. Have you ever guys heard that guy on the radio? I mean, what an inspiration. That guy's a light bulb. Man. What an influence that Paul was having here. You know what? When I thought about that story of the Palestinian, the PLO guy, you know, in his testimony, he reminded that guy. He said, you know what? Jesus said, pray for your enemies. That's what we're supposed to do. Love your enemies. We're supposed to pray for people like that. We're supposed to pray for those people over there in Syria, in Jordan, in Iraq, in Iran, in all those places, that their eyes would be open to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work. That's our work. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That their eyes would be open. You know what he said to us? He said, you know what? There are dreams happening over there. There are visions happening to those people, and they're coming to Christ. That was prophesied in the Word. The very thing in the latter days. There will be dreams and visions, and people will come to Christ. And it's happening. Don't let people or circumstances rob you of your joy. Pray. Pray for the person. And then verse 11 says, you'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. Fruit. When I look at fruit, what? I love it. I want to pick it. You know? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are the peacemakers. Those who bring peace. The gospel of peace. We're bringing people to God. So they'll have peace with God. The unmerited love of God brings peace with God. Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Look at verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Hey, if someone's preaching and maybe it's a little bit wrong, just be happy that Christ is being preached. That movie of the Bible. You know, I got a little upset by some of the things. Oh, that's wrong. They're not doing it right. Go on. You know what? Christ was being preached. The gospel was being given. I had a chance to talk to my son about God because of that movie. He came and asked me questions. And it was just an awesome time. He's not saved yet, but I'm still praying for him, and God's going to do his work. I know he will. Because I have faith in the Lord. And it was funny because the other day I talked to him, and he started talking about, he goes, you know, I know something's going to happen. I just know something's going to happen. You can just tell. All the movies are about things happening, the end of the world and this and that. And he says, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to put a tattoo on my arm or my hand or on my head. I'm not going to let them do it. And I says, well, you know they're going to lop your head off. He goes, I'll let them do that. I'm not going to take that mark. I thought that was funny. It's probably something I told him, I don't know, years back or something. 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's confident he's going to be delivered through their prayers. Isn't that cool? When people pray for you, does that make you confident? You're going to get through it. It does, man. It helps you. You know, that's what prayer is all about. You know, whoop, we give it to God. Place your burdens upon me. I think John Corson, I think, was talking about, you know, the priest. When they went into the temple in the Old Testament, they carried on carried the breastplate, and it was all the stones of the tribes, different colors of each tribe, on their right over their heart, and then on their shoulder they had these stones, and it had the names of the tribes on their shoulders, and the shoulders represent burdens, and the high priest went into the temple, and he took the people, the tribes, on top of her, on his heart, and the burdens, and he went in and prayed for them. That's what the high priest was supposed to do. That's what Christ does for us, ladies and gentlemen, through the things that we suffer. The supply of the Spirit. I couldn't wait for this because I got a prop. And you're going, oh no, there's only 10 minutes left. I better hurry. Hey, the Spirit, it's the wind. It's like the wind. That's what it means. It's pneuma in Greek. It's pneuma. That's where we get our word pneumatic. Look out. I had to bring my smaller gun because I was afraid, you know, my bigger gun. Let's hope there's enough air pressure in here. Look, power source. This is the power source. Here's where the air flows through here. This is the pneumatic tool. This is us. All right. So let's hook it up. I brought a little piece of wood. You guys won't be able to see this very well. But watch this. Dude, it didn't staple. There. Drove it all the way in. Drove that thing all the way in. Got to have the power source. Got to have the flow of the Spirit into you, the power. That's what makes the tool work, right? Look what happens when we... Yeah. It's cool. I went up to this camp for kids, and this guy was giving this demonstration, and I was watching it. And it just so impressed me. I had to show you guys. Look what happens when we sin. I'm going to kink the hose. I ain't supposed to do that. It's not in the rule book. I'm kinking the hose. Okay, it worked good there. Uh-oh. Doesn't work. Sin blocks the airflow. Sin blocks the Spirit from working in your life. Get rid of the sin, and the power returns. Is that cool or what? I should be done with that. All right. Wow. Verse 21. Or 20, I think I just read 19. 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. By life or by death. Didn't matter. God will be magnified. I watched people die. I've been around several people that have died. I've been at their deathbed, and I have watched the peace that comes over a person that passes from here, from this life, to the next. I mean, what an awesome thing that is to watch. And I've been there praying with them, holding their hand and everything in that. I mean, it's just, it's pretty neat. Listen to this. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because it's a greater relationship. You know, we have sin that blocks us right now, man. You know, we're not always connected. You know, and we have this disconnect. I'll always remember as I was sitting in a chair, and I was watching probably Bonanza, is what I'm thinking. And I was sitting there, and I had this devotion book. It was from John Corson. It was sitting over on a table over here. And I just happened to glance over there, and I went, and I had to put my hat back on the TV. I go, Bonanza. And then I went like this. And I had this voice inside of me that says, why don't you pick up the book? And I'm going, I'm watching TV. I'm talking to myself. Okay, I'm not crazy. I'm just saying. I'm watching Bonanza. So I kind of gave in. I go, oh, all right. So I went over there and I got the book and I went back over in the chair. I left the TV on and I opened the book up. And I'm going, oh, this is cool. And then it says in there, it says, this is the devotion for that day. It says, look, if you want to really hear from God, if you want to see, do you want to hear from God? Turn the TV off. I said, what is that? I mean, it said a lot more, but you know, I mean, it's just, what timing was that? You know? And it's funny because, you know, with an antenna or with a TV, you gotta tune it in. The guy on the TV is always talking. He's always communicating. He's always saying something. But you got to turn the TV on. You got to put it in the room. You got to get adjusted. You got to adjust the tuner. Remember, who's the guy that had the antennas that went up? My Favorite Martian. I love that guy. You know, the antennas that go up? We got to have our antenna up to hear from the Lord. You see? Turn off the TV. I just thought that was something. All right. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life. I live for Christ now. That's your life. You live for Christ now. He lives in you. Okay, we'll finish up here. First Colossians 1. Couple books over, 24 through 29, sacrificial service for Christ. Paul writing again, I know, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's our job. That's the work. We want everybody to come to Christ. We want everybody. To this end, I also labor and strive according to his working, which works in me mightily. My mom saw a child on drugs and alcohol, all messed up, and prayed. And look what's happened. I'm standing here today. And I've gone through some stuff. And that's how I got here. And I was going to give a testimony, but it's too late. You'll have to get it another time. But I still suffer in some of the things that I go through, and it holds me in. I think of you guys. I pray for you guys. Those prayer lists, those cards that are on the back of those chairs, those are prayed for. We have prayer warriors here that lift those up in prayers. You're being prayed for in the spiritual realm that's all around us. God loves you. He wants you to have joy. He wants to live in you and bring that joy. Three things. Live the gospel message. Live it. That's what I'm doing. I'm just living the gospel message. That's what Paul did. That's what you do. You guys that have suffered, you know. You've been taught through the suffering and everything. You know, that's the thing. You're living the message. The struggles that you go through, everything, as that joy is pronounced in you, people are going, what's up with those people at Calvary Chapel Lakeside? You know, why are they so joyful? Why do I go there and everybody's got a smile on their face? You know, it's because Christ is in you. That's the truth. And with Christ in you, you will have joy. And that's God's truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you for men like Paul. Thank you for the men that you have inspired throughout the years, Lord. And the pastors that work so hard to preach the gospel, Lord. I thank you for everyone in here who labors also with that, because we work in unity together in Christ. And it's for the furtherance of your gospel, Lord, the good news that we don't have to go to hell. It's our choice. And you've said, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are burdened. I will carry your burdens. Come to me. Those who are suffering, those who are going through things, those who might have kids that are out there in the world, take joy in knowing as you pray for them that God will do his work. We have faith in you, Lord, that you will bring our kids back, that you will bring them to you. May you help each one in here, Lord. May your face smile down upon them this week. May they always believe, always know that you're with us wherever we go. God is the strength of our life. Thank you, God, for all these words. In Jesus' name, amen.